This message is entitled Perfect Blood. We've been in the Blood series. And if you weren't here last week, I'm going to give just a little bit of a recap this week to some of the things that I said last week, because this was a two-part message. So last week I talked about perfect blood, and I talked about two components of perfect blood, of the blood of Jesus, and that was red blood cells and white blood cells. This week I'm going to talk about platelets and plasma. But before I do, I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 23, again with me. We read this last week, and then John 6, 54. Deuteronomy 12, 23, it'll be on the screen. If you have YouVersion, you can open that up, and the notes are there. It says this, the Lord said, "But never consume the blood, for the blood is the life, and you must not consume the lifeblood with the meat." I'll read it again. "But never consume the blood, for the blood is the life. You must not consume the lifeblood with the meat." And then John 6, 54 through 56, Jesus said this. He said, "But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Remember, that word life is the Greek word zoe, okay? And Jesus said, "And I will raise that person at the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him." Okay, zoe is the Greek word that means that it is the life that is given by God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to those who believe the gospel. Okay, now that's a long definition. What it really means is it's your real life, your present, your future life, active, vigorous life that is devoted to God. That's what that means. Real life, this word zoe means the life that Jesus intended for you to have from the very beginning. Okay, so Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. He said, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you." Verse 4, watch. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot produce fruit unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask, or you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted." That's a great promise from Jesus, isn't it? If you remain in him and he remains in you, you can ask for anything you want and it will be granted. That's powerful. If you need something, if you want something, and you remain in Jesus and he remains in you, you can ask for what you need or want, and if it's according to his will, it'll be granted to you. It's awesome. Physician Horace Smith, I told you this last week, he's a physician he was actually from the south side of Chicago. He was a pastor and a physician. And he describes blood this way. It's pretty powerful how he describes it. He says, "Each drop of human blood contains over 5 million red blood cells. In an average lifetime, a person's red cells, if they were arranged in a single file line, would reach from Earth to the sun and back 5 times. Our bodies contain approximately 60,000 miles of blood vessels. Through this delivery system, blood provides everything our cells need to live, and they take away waste that would poison us. At the cellular level, capillaries are so small that they're about the size of a single red blood cell. To connect with all the cells in the body, capillary walls cover an area of about 70,000 square feet. The circulatory system is the epitome of consistency. Every day, the heart beats 100,000 times, and over an average lifespan, this amazing machine beats 2.5 billion times, pumping 60 million gallons of blood through the circulatory system. During this time, the heart never takes time off. We can't afford for it to take a break. Even for a few minutes without blood supply, it would cause severe brain damage or even death. Virtually all other cells in the human body are stationary, but blood is mobile tissue, carrying nutrients to every part of the body, protecting us from harm and healing our wounds. So it's no wonder that in the Word of God, in Leviticus 17, 14, it says that the life of every creature is in the blood. The life of every creature is in the blood. When you understand the human blood, when you understand natural blood, then this scripture makes perfect sense. Without blood, there's no cell, not one cell in the human body can survive, can live without blood. Not one. It has to have a continual supply of blood, continual connection to blood. If any cell in your body is cut off from a continual blood supply, it will die. Does everybody understand that? This is science, class right now. Does everybody understand that? This is a little bit of education on this so that we can understand the Word of God a little bit better. You have to be in connection with the blood, with natural blood. This skin has to be in connection with natural blood or it will die. Okay? So, with that being said, then it's no wonder that Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God." That word, real life, those two words, is the same word, zoe. Your real life, the life that was you were created to have, that God intended for you to have from the very beginning, is hidden with Christ in God. There is not one person in all of creation who has ever lived or whoever will live that can experience true life without constant contact with the life-giving blood of Jesus. You have to have the blood of Jesus flowing through your spiritual veins in order to experience real life, zoe. The life God created you to have from the beginning. So with that, I want to talk to you about two more components of blood. First, platelets. Again, like I said last week, red blood cells and white blood cells, I talked about those. Red blood cells bring life. White blood cells protect that life that the red blood cells bring. Platelets, however, are unlike red blood cells and white blood cells. Platelets are not actually cells, but rather small fragments of cells. Platelets help the blood clotting process or coagulation. They help by gathering at the site of an injury. Let me say this again. This is going to be important here in a few minutes when God pulls this all together for you. Platelets help by gathering at the site of an injury, sticking to the lining of the injured blood vessel and forming a platform on which blood coagulation can occur. This results in the formation of a fibrin clot, which covers the wound and prevents blood from leaking out. Fibrin also forms the initial scaffolding upon which new tissue forms, thus promoting healing. Platelets heal. Platelets make the platform for healing to occur. Platelets provide the scaffolding for this to happen. It's an amazing thing what platelets do in our bodies. Have you ever cut yourself before? Anybody ever gotten a cut before? And then all of a sudden, after a little bit of time, that cut clots up. The bleeding stops, hopefully, right? It stops. And if you have the proper amount of platelets and your blood is in the right order, it will stop bleeding because platelets build a scaffolding there for the healing to begin, the clotting to start and the healing to begin. And before long, all of a sudden, that clot, it's noticeable. After a few days, that clot looks like what we call a scab. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You get a scab on that wound. And if you pick the scab off of the wound, anybody ever pick the scab off of the wound? All of us have, right? Because we love picking scabs, don't we? I remember all the times getting scabs on my knees when I was younger. I mean, I'd get scabs on my knees all the time, and I would pick the scabs because it was fun picking the scab off the knee. But inevitably, you'd get to that part of the scab that wasn't, like, dried up. It was still attached to the, you know what I'm talking about, to the live part. Anybody know what I'm getting at here? And you'd pick a little too hard and a little too deep, and you'd reopen the wound. Oh, boy, am I going to get into this morning. You know where I'm going, right? You'd reopen the wound. Well, guess what would happen in your natural body? What would happen is it would start bleeding again, which means platelets would start rushing to the scene of the crime again. Your crime. You picked the scab off the wound. Platelets would rush there, and they'd start to form that clot again. And if you allowed enough time for that clot to begin to heal again and to scab over, you could start picking at it again. But if you picked too deep and got into the fresh stuff, it would happen all over again. Anybody do that? Anybody have a wound that just wouldn't heal because you kept picking at it? Yep. I could get into that right now, huh? Isaiah 53:5 says this, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds," say it with me, "we are healed."
Amen.
With his what? Wounds. We are what? Healed. See, there are spiritual platelets in the spiritual blood of Jesus. Just like the red blood cells and the white blood cells that I talked about last week, there are platelets in the perfect blood of Jesus. And as soon as you experience a wound, if the blood of Jesus is flowing through you, if you are in constant contact with the blood, then those spiritual platelets in the perfect blood of Jesus rush to that wound and begin to build the platform for healing. But you have to be in contact with the blood of Jesus. You have to remain in him, and he will remain in you. 1 Peter 2:24, Peter repeated this scripture in Isaiah, and he said, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." You have been healed. Past tense, it was already done. You say, well, what's the difference here? In Isaiah 53:5, and with his wounds we are healed, and it's 1 Peter, "By his wounds you have been healed." Well, remember, Isaiah 53:5 was pre-cross, and Peter was speaking was post-cross. It had already happened. Jesus had already taken the wounds upon his physical body. But those physical wounds that he received on his physical body was not for physical healing in him. It was for physical healing in us and spiritual healing in us. Did the wounds that Jesus received on his body physically heal? Did the platelets rush to the scene? He rose from the dead, and yes, he had scars, so evidently those physical platelets in his blood did the physical job in his body, but it was more important that those physical wounds that he received on the cross created spiritual healing for us for all of eternity. Look at this with me for a moment. Think about this. The blood of Jesus carries these supernatural platelets for healing and for healing sickness in every person. But let me ask you this. How can God, and I'm going to touch on something here, and I'm going to get a little adamant, a little riled up, okay? Because as I was preparing this week, just felt Holy Spirit rising up at this moment. How can God choose not to heal someone when he already purchased their healing? Because there's a segment of people out there that say that God chooses to heal some and he chooses not to heal others. How can God choose not to heal you if you already paid for it? If it's already been done and it's already been accomplished and it was a perfect work and a finished work, complete work, how can he choose not to do what he already completed? Let me ask you this. Was his blood enough for all sin or just certain sins? Was it enough for all sin? Everybody say yes. Was his blood enough to take every single sin away that has ever been committed on this earth and ever will be committed? Was his blood enough, perfect enough to take it all away? Yes. Then if his blood is perfect enough to take every sin away, isn't his blood perfect enough to heal every wound? Isn't his blood perfect enough to heal every sickness, to heal every disease?
Yes.
I cannot reconcile that his blood is perfect enough to take away every sin, but not perfect enough to heal every sickness and disease. It doesn't make sense to me. If his blood is perfect, then it's perfect. Somebody say perfect.
Perfect.
It's perfect. When he bore the stripes in his body, he made a payment for our miracle. He made a payment. He released supernatural platelets for all to receive for all of eternity. Those platelets know what they're doing, and they'll do their job. They'll rush to the scene of the crime, and they'll start to heal. The awesome thing about the supernatural platelets that Jesus revealed or released in his wounds is that they were released for our wounds before we even experienced a wound. You and I can experience healing for whatever we are facing. because Jesus already provided it when he shed his perfect blood. Listen to me real closely. You cannot say, well, let me just say it this way. If you say that healing is not provided for every sickness and every wound, then you are saying that the blood of Jesus is not perfect. You can't have it both ways. Everybody watching live stream right now, you can't have it both ways. You cannot say that his blood is perfect and then say he doesn't provide healing for every sickness and every disease. He does. Well, then why isn't everyone healed? Why isn't every disease cured? Why isn't every wound healed? I don't know the answer to that, but what I do know is it's not the fault of Jesus. I know that it's not about that his blood is imperfect. His blood is perfect. It's perfect. The problem is that we think we have to have an answer for everything. And you know what that is? That's pride. Well, if I don't have an answer for it, then it doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, then I got to make sense of it because I have to know the answer to this. So I'm just going to make something up. I'm just going to reach out and grab something that would make sense. Well, the only thing that makes sense in this, in a person's mind that's thinking that way, is that then Jesus doesn't heal everybody. God must just choose. I'm going to heal you, but I'm not going to heal you. I'm going to heal you, but I'm not going to heal you. Oh, you've been good enough. I'm going to heal you. And I'm telling you, this is a lie from the pit of hell. This is the enemy's attempt to tear down the perfect work of the cross. This is the enemy's attempt to taint the perfect blood of Jesus. If he can get you to believe his lies, then he'll keep you in that bondage as long as he can. But his goal is not just to keep you in bondage. His goal is to take you to the pit of the hell with him. His goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want to just steal the truth from you. He wants to kill you and destroy you as well, and destroy everyone that you know as well. He's ruthless. The enemy is ruthless. He's a brutal abuser. He does not care about you. He just wants to destroy you. So he'll lie to you over and over and over again, and he'll continually tell you that this word is not truth. And he'll continually give you reasons to discount this word. But you need to trust the word of the Lord. And you need to trust what God told you thousands of years ago and is still speaking to you today. This word is true, truth, and the truth will set you free. But you have to believe the truth. Red blood cells bring new life, which is redemption from sin. White blood cells protect that life, which is sanctification. Platelets heal. That's what they do. Red blood cells bring life. Amen?
Yes?
Is it true? They bring oxygen to the rest of the body. White blood cells protect from invading intruders. Platelets heal. It's what they do. And if our natural blood that God created within us does all of these things, does it not make sense that the blood of Jesus does the same things? He is a healing God. He already purchased it. It's already done. The interesting thing, listen to this, the interesting thing is how platelets are activated. This is really interesting. As soon as there is a wound, platelets go into action, and they rush to the site of the wound, and they change shape according to the wound so that they can heal it just like it needs to be healed. How many of you knew that platelets change shape? I didn't know that until I started studying. Okay, all the medical people in the room raised their hands. And if you are in the medical field and you didn't raise your hand, you skipped that class. Nate, you skipped that class? It's a nurse. It's a heart nurse, by the way. So, yeah, you need anything, right? He's available. So, that's crazy to me. They change shape. Platelets rush to the scene of the crime, the wound. They start changing shape. Here's another thing that platelets do. Nate, pay attention to this. Here's another thing that platelets do. Platelets also not only rush to the scene of the wound and heal the wound, but platelets also start calling for other proteins and other cells that need to help and aid in the healing. They start calling out, sending signals out for these other molecules and these other proteins and these other cells to come to the wound and begin to heal the wound. That's powerful. Think about the blood of Jesus and what the blood of Jesus is doing. The blood of Jesus will come when you are wounded. When you are wounded, the blood of Jesus will come no matter what type of wound you've had. I'm talking to some people in this place today. No matter what, see, there are so many Christians today that are walking around. They don't have physical sickness, but they've got an emotional wound. They've got a spiritual wound. They've got a wound in their heart. And they walk around with it and they live with it day and night, night and day. They were wounded as a child and they've been living with that wound ever since. And they don't think there's any hope for that wound. But I'm telling you, the platelets, the blood of Jesus will rush to that wound and will call help to come to that wound and heal your wound if you'll let him. But you have to let him. You have to remain in him, and his blood will remain in you. His life will remain in you. It doesn't matter what the wound is. It doesn't matter what you've been going through. It may not be a physical wound you're dealing with. Maybe it's an emotional wound. But here's what I want to tell you. You don't have to stay that way. You treat people the way you treat people because you never allowed the perfect blood of Jesus to heal that wound in your heart. You isolate yourself from people because you have trust issues, and those trust issues come from a wound that you've never allowed the perfect blood of Jesus to heal. You constantly feel the need to build yourself up in front of people, to say things about yourself in front of people, about how skilled and educated you are, and all the things that you've done in the past, because you have a wound of insecurity in you, and you've never allowed the blood of Jesus to rush to the scene of that wound and begin to build the scaffolding of healing and call all the other components to come and do the work that only the blood of Jesus can do. And you've been, how do I know this? I know this because of what I've studied, but I know this because I've lived it myself. I know this because I walked around with inner wounds in my heart for years, and I thought this is just the way it has to be. Why? Because I never saw any Christians dealing with it openly. I never saw or heard any Christian saying, listen, I got this problem, I got this porn addiction, or I got this, you know, this alcohol addiction, or I got this other addiction in my life, or I got these wounds that are happening in me. Like, I treat people poorly. Like, I have these insecurity issues, and when I see somebody doing well, I get mad at that person because they're doing well. I'm talking to somebody in this place today. There's some people sitting in here today or watching live stream today. You've been doing the same thing. You see somebody successful and you get upset inside and you don't even know why you're upset with that person. They're a nice person, but you're upset with them inside and you don't understand it. I'm telling you, there's a wound that the enemy created in you and you haven't allowed the blood of Jesus to come and rush to the scene and heal that wound. And Jesus just wants to come with his supernatural platelets. With the blood, the perfect blood of Jesus, and he just wants to heal those wounds in your heart. And I used to be that way. I'd look at people and I'd get mad when people were successful or popular. And they're the nicest people in the room, but I just didn't like them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And when I realized, when the Holy Spirit brought to my attention and got a hold of me, and I realized this was an emotional wound that I had in my heart, and I allowed the blood of Jesus to heal that wound, I never looked at people like that again. It's kind of interesting how when you're dealing with wounds like that, everything looks different. So let me try to relate this to physical wounds for a moment. Have you ever been walking through a room in your house in the dark, because you just wanted to get up in the night and go get a glass of water, and you stubbed your toe on something. Anybody ever do that? Maybe you weren't even in the dark. You're just in the light. I mean, there's perfect light. You just are stupid. I'm just saying. Just joking. You're not stupid. You're clumsy. And no, I'm just kidding. You know what I'm saying? You ever do that? Well, let me ask you this. When I don't know about you, but when I stub my toe like that, I can't think about anything else but what's going on right down there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not concerned with anything else that's going on. I mean, somebody could come into my house with a gun and want to rob us, but I stubbed my toe, so go ahead. Take whatever you want, because I am hurting right now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, when you get a wound, things look different around you. Like, you don't notice things, and you're kind of unaware of things because you're hurting right now, and you can't think, is this making sense to you? And Jesus showed this to me. He said, look, this is what happens with wounded people. Wounded people have a different perspective. They have a different viewpoint. We can look at them, those of us who don't have those wounds, we can look at them and go, what's wrong with them? Why don't they see what's going on with them? Why don't they understand what's happening around them? Why don't they understand the problems that they cause with the attitude that they have? And Jesus is saying to me, look, they don't understand all that because they have a different perspective. They're hurting right now. You ever heard the saying, hurt people hurt people? They don't understand. They're just hurting right now, and they don't see it like you see it. That's why I'm sending you to them, so that you can take my blood. Come on. And speak life to them. I'm going to show you this again, because I think it's so powerful. Mark chapter 16. Verses 15 through 18, and Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages, and they will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. I'm going to read this again, and I want you to do something with me. Every time the word will is there, I want you to shout it out, will. And there's one will not. I want you to shout that out. Will not. You guys ready? Are you going to do this? Don't make me stop in the middle of it and correct you. All right? And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. They what? They will be healed. Say it again. They will be healed. Say it again. They will be healed. I told you this last week. Holy Spirit showed me something so powerful in here that I've never seen before. The first part of this scripture, they will be saved. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's the red blood cells. The second part of this is they will cast out demons. Miraculous signs will accompany them. They will cast out demons. They'll speak in new languages and be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. That's white blood cells. Red blood cells bring life. White blood cells protect that life. But look at the last part of this. And they will be able to place their hands on the sick, and say it again, and they will be healed. That's platelets. The perfect blood of Jesus finished a complete and perfect work on the cross. Done. Forever. So that you can have new life, so that life can be protected, and so that you can be healed. Complete work. So if we understand this truth, if we receive this truth about the blood of Jesus, if we know the truth, then we are mandated to share this truth. Quit sitting back every time somebody discounts the truth of God's word or says something slanderous about the truth of God's word. Quit sitting back and just taking it. Open up your mouth and speak the truth. I'm not even in my notes, but I hear Holy Spirit say, go here for just a second. Do you know why this world is in the condition this world is in? Because far too many believers just sit back and let it go in that direction. I'll just use something that we all know. What was it, 1963? Prayer was taken out of schools in the United States of America. Do you know why prayer was taken out of schools? Because we sat by silent. At that time, think about this, at that time, 95% of citizens of the United States proclaimed to be Christians. 95%. Yet prayer was removed from school because of 5%. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. But if they don't know the truth, if we're not sharing the truth, if we just sit back and go, oh, that's their opinion and they can have their opinion. Yeah, they can have their opinion and you can have yours too. You can stand up and say, this is the truth of God's word. Now do it in love. You don't need to get on Facebook and start debating with people. That's not what I'm talking about. I haven't been on Facebook for over a year. Thank you, Jesus. And it's been wonderful. I'm not talking about that. But I run into people every day that I have the opportunity to share the truth of God's word with them. We can't sit back and we can't be afraid. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to let them know about the blood of Jesus, the perfect blood of Jesus. Too many people are hurting. Too many people are sick in disease. Too many people have these emotional wounds in their hearts, and we have the answer to those wounds. We have the answer. His name is Jesus, and his blood is perfect. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. The second thing I want to bring to you, and I'm going to do it real quickly. I know this has been a long service, but you got to hear this. Plasma. Plasma is the liquid component of blood. Plasma serves as the transportation medium for the other major components of blood. Plasma is a mixture of water, sugar, fat, protein, and salts. The main job of the plasma is to transport blood cells throughout your body along with nutrients, waste products, antibodies, clotting proteins, chemical messengers such as hormones, and proteins that help maintain the body's fluid balance. That's the job of plasma. The main job of plasma is to hold it all together as it transports these life-giving, protecting, healing components to the rest of your body. That's the job of plasma, to hold all of this together. The red blood cells, the white blood cells, the platelets. Plasma holds it all together and transports it through your body. So look at Colossians chapter 1 with me real quick. Turn there if you have your Bible. It's going to be on the screen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says this, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. Now look at this. And he holds all creation together.
Yes, he does.
Let me just stop and say, remain in me, Jesus said, and I will remain in you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Look at verse 18. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is beginnings supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him God reconciled, somebody say this with me, everything to himself. Say it again. Everything. God reconciled everything to himself. Watch this. Watch this. Pay close attention. Don't miss this. He made peace with everything. Look at somebody say everything. He made peace with everything. In heaven and on earth by means of what? Christ's blood on the cross. Come on, y'all. Jesus holds it all together. He was here before the foundations of the world. He holds it all together. But I love this last scripture. And through him, God reconciled everything. And when he said everything, he didn't just leave it there. I love how he went on and said, he made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood. Let me tell you what that means. That means healing too. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. All those naysayers out there, everybody who says, well, God chooses to heal some and not others, just read this scripture again. He made peace with what? Everything. Where? In heaven and on earth. That means that your sickness and your disease and every wound that you've ever experienced has been reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. He made peace with it. You are healed. You are forgiven. You are set free by the blood of Jesus. The perfect blood of Jesus. He did it all. He made it possible for every single person to be completely restored to his original design and purpose. He made it possible. But we have to receive it. He doesn't force his blood upon you. It's a gift that you have to receive and choose to live in it and choose to walk in it. I prayed with somebody this morning, and one of the things I said to this person is, I said, you know, we have to partner with Jesus. We have to partner with him. You can't ask him to heal you from something that you continually pick the scab off of. Did you hear me? You keep reaching down and picking the scab off of that, and it keeps bleeding and coming back to life again, and the platelets keep rushing to the point to do their job, because they'll continue to do that. But you keep asking Jesus to heal you from something, and you continually pick at it and pick at it and pick at it. Some of you in this place, you've got a wound in your heart that you've carried your whole life. And you've held on to this your whole life, and you've asked Jesus to take it away, but you continually pick at this wound. You continually pick at the scab. Maybe it's unforgiveness. You just can't forgive the person that caused this wound in your life. Or maybe it's just that you just can't get over this. That, like, kind of like John was talking about today. You just think you're worthless. You just think you're not worthy of healing. So you just can't get over the fact that Jesus would shed his perfect blood for an imperfect person like you. And today, you have the opportunity to receive the blood of Jesus once and for all. For not just your sins, to take your sins away, and not just to protect your life, but to heal you completely from the inside out.